Hello and welcome to our program today. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We hope that if you're ever in our area, you will please come by and visit with us. We do have a website, windmillcoc.org, and check us out there for times and for our location. Today, we want to talk about making disciples of all the nations. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have the great commission that Jesus gave before he left this world. Now, I want to read those three copies of the Great Commission, those three records, or rather, of the Great Commission, so that we'll know what the Great Commission is. First of all, from Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go you into all, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So there are two primary things here. First of all, there is teaching, and then there is baptizing. And so people are to be taught, and then they are to be baptized. Who is? All nations. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And they're to be baptized by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then following their conversion, they are to be taught all things whatsoever God had commanded them. So you are taught to become a Christian, and then you're taught to grow as a Christian. But teaching precedes the baptism. You must be taught, and then you must be baptized. Now let's go to Mark's account of the Great Commission in Mark 16. And here we find a similar command, the Great Commission. Verse 15 of Mark 16 says, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now Matthew said all nations. Mark's account says all creatures. And then verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so they are to be hearing the gospel. Then verse 16 says they are to be believing the gospel, and then they are to be obeying the gospel by being baptized for the remission of their sins. This is how we make disciples of the world. Now I want to read Luke's account of the Great Commission, found in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 46. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And so again, we find the preaching of the Word of God, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Now notice what we're to preach. We're to preach repentance and remission of sins. And so there is a consistency in these passages. We're to preach. We're to make disciples. They are to hear the preaching. They should believe the preaching. And they should be baptized for the remission of sins. Now let's turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to find that the commands of Jesus Christ given in these three accounts of the Great Commission was followed excellently by his disciples. Notice in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, You men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words." And so he began to preach the gospel to them. He preached about the Christ to came to earth. He preached about the Christ who died. He preached about the Christ who rose from the dead, that his body did not stay in the tomb to see corruption. But he was raised, and he was raised up to sit at the right hand of the Father on high, and that this was a fulfillment of the Scripture. So he preached the gospel to those people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And he also pointed out their sins, why they needed remission of sins. Verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." God had exalted his Son Jesus Christ to be Lord and Christ, Lord and the Messiah, Lord and the Anointed One, and you have crucified him. Now, verse 37, they were listening, because it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So they heard the gospel. That's what Jesus said to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then it says that repentance should be preached. And so when they heard that, they asked the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said and responded in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, this message is in harmony with the great commissions that we've just read from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And do you know what happened? The very thing that God wanted to happen took place. For in verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So they did exactly what Jesus said to do. They preached the gospel. And when they did that, people believed the gospel. And then they responded to the gospel. This is so beautiful and wonderful that God's plan is being carried out. Now let's go to Acts chapter 8, because we find God's great commission being carried out. It says in Acts 8 and verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." And here are the miracles, verse 7 of Acts 8. "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And also there was in that city a certain sorcerer named Simon. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least unto the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they gave regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And so the very same thing happened in Acts 8 as happened in Acts chapter 2. A man preached the gospel. The people heard the gospel. The people believed the gospel. And then the people were baptized, obeying the gospel of Christ. And so that's what the Lord said to do, and that's what they did. But also, we want to point out, while we are in Acts 8, that not only did the people of Samaria hear and believe and were baptized, but the man named Simon, he also heard, he also believed, and he was baptized. It says in verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And so he believed, and he was baptized. There's nothing taught about a sinner's prayer. There's nothing said about the thief on the cross. No one said anything about being saved by faith only. No, that's not what Jesus said in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24. He didn't say anything about a sinner's prayer. And so the Great Commission was being carried out just as the Lord had commanded. Then Philip went and preached to the Ethiopian. And Acts 8 and verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And so there's the preaching. It was preaching from the Old Testament scripture of Isaiah 53. Now verse 36 says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, in the preaching that Philip did, he preached about being baptized, didn't he? Because when they came to the water, it was the eunuch said, here's water. What is hindering me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, there we have the good confession. We're to confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's what Jesus taught in those great commissions, that repentance and remission of sin should be taught, that they are to teach to believe and to be baptized. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 39 of Acts 8 says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, we've been through the case of conversion with the Pentecostians, Acts chapter 2. We've been through the case of the conversion of the Samaritans and the Simon the sorcerer, and now the eunuch. And they all did the same thing. They heard the preaching. They believed the preaching. They obeyed the command to be baptized. And that is what brings salvation. That's what brings success. No wonder the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He had just obeyed the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He had just become saved from his past sins. And there's nothing wrong with that plan that God gave to man. Now, let's talk about Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as the Apostle Paul. And that's in Acts chapter 9. And in this chapter, he is blinded by a bright light on his way to Damascus. And then the Bible says in Acts 9 and verse 10, There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as he camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. He heard the instructions of the Lord. He became a Christian. Paul recounts that story in Acts 22, and in Paul's recounting of it, he said, Ananias said, And now, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He heard, he believed, and he was baptized just like all the others were. He was baptized to have his sins washed away. And so they are all following the commands of the Great Commission as given by Jesus Christ in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, God's precious word. But in Acts 10, we have the first conversion of Gentiles. The man was named Cornelius, and he and his house obeyed the gospel. In Acts, he heard the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and then it says Peter preached the gospel about Jesus Christ to him. Notice verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things that he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. That's the gospel. He preached that to the house of Cornelius. And the Bible says in Acts 10 and verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And so here we have again. We have the first Gentile convert, and they're obeying the gospel just like the Jewish converts obeyed the gospel. They're following the commands of Jesus, who said, Preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what's happening in all of these cases. They are preaching the gospel, and people are hearing it and believing it and being baptized for the remission of sins. Now let's go to Acts 16. And here we have a woman named Lydia. Notice Acts 16, verse 13. It says, And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a river where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constraineth us. And so Paul preached the gospel to them, and they were baptized. Now in the next case, we have the Philippian jailer. He was a pagan man, and yet Paul and Silas preached unto him the gospel. Notice verse 30 of Acts 16, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. He didn't wait till Sunday morning to come to church to be baptized. He was baptized that night. Now we need to hurry quickly. Acts 18, Paul comes to the city of Corinth, and there the gospel is preached. And notice what happens in verse number 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all of his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. That's exactly what the Lord told all to do in the Great Commission. Go preach the gospel to every creature. And then in Acts 19, we need to hurry to get this last account in here. We have the conversion of the Ephesians. Verse 1 of Acts 19, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. He said, and then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They heard about the preaching of Christ. And so the biblical facts are consistent, are they not? Are they not consistent? What Jesus said in the Great Commission has happened in all of these accounts of conversion. There's no denying what the Bible says. They said and they did what Jesus said to do. No variation. And that spells success. We're not here to change the Word of God. We're here to teach and preach the Word of God. And we're here to obey the Word of God. And so what Jesus said to do is what the Christians did in the first century. They preached the gospel, repentance and remission of sins, believe and be baptized. This is what happened in every one of these cases of conversion. I appreciate you listening today and listening to these important words from the Bible. They're God's will, and we must obey God's will. We're not here to change God's will. We're here to teach and preach God's will, which we have done today in this broadcast. We have preached what the Bible says about being saved and how people are saved. They're saved by hearing the Word of God. They're saved by believing the Word of God. And they're saved by obeying the Word of God. Every one of these people who were baptized were obedient to the gospel. Thank you for tuning in today, my friends. We're glad to have you with us. And we pray that you'll study these things further. If you need to contact us, our information is on our website, windmillcoc.org. Please contact us if you need some help. We'll be glad to help you. Our phone number is on that website, and give us a call. Leave a message if we're not here. We'll be glad to get back in touch with you. Thanks for listening today. May God bless you as you study His Word, believe His Word, and as you obey His Word. Until next time, we bid you God's blessings.